Okay, so tonight we're going to continue with, we're traveling through Friday night, we're doing some of the positive commandments of Shabbos, and what we're doing is we're going through the Friday night, and we discussed Kiddush, and Mecha Mishnah, and the Tilis Hedayim, some halachos of saying Amen, and we stuck in different parts of Hilchos Brachos, because that's my favorite topic, along the way, different parts here and there. So right now we are holding up, we discussed last week also, the halachos of desserts, brachos on desserts, which foods need to make a separate bracha. So now we're at the end of the meal, and we come to mayim achronim. So mayim achronim is, we all know what mayim rishonim is. Mayim rishonim means the first water that's netilas yadayim. We discussed that already, washing our hands before bread. A mayim achronim, the Gemara says that there's, what we're supposed to do is wash our hands before we bench. There are two reasons given in the Gemara, what is the reason for mayim achronim? One of them, which you may be familiar with, is because there's what's called a melech sedomis, a certain type of salt that comes from Sodom, and that salt is used in the bread, and that salt could get on our fingers, and we could touch our eyes, and it could cause blindness to the eyes. That's what the Gemara says is the main reason why there is a mitzvah to do mayim achronim, because it has this salt from Sodom. It gets on our fingers, and a person could touch their eyes, and it could cause blindness. So the Shulchan Aruch says something that I'm sure you've all already thought of, that we don't have that nowadays. And we don't use, our salt is not from Sodom, and it's not from anywhere near Sodom. So really, says the Shulchan Aruch, there are many people that say that we do not need to wash mayim achronim nowadays. Even men, why should we wash mayim achronim nowadays? If that's the main reason, and the main reason really seemingly doesn't apply, so perhaps we should do away with the whole mitzvah of mayim achronim, and we shouldn't need mayim achronim. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that we should still wash mayim achronim. We should still wash mayim achronim, even though the main reason doesn't really apply. But says the Mishnah Berurah that there's other reasons as well why we do mayim achronim, besides for this special type of salt. Another reason is the same exact reason as we said for Netilas Hedayim. Reason number two by Netilas Hedayim was what we call Nekiyus HaKadusha, to be clean, and before we make a bracha, to be clean, our hands should be clean and spiritually pure. So that reason applies over here as well. That's reason number two why we do Mayim Achronim. Before we bench, our hands should be clean, before we make a bracha, before we bench to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mishnah Berurah says that really we should continue to do it nowadays. So that's why you find many times on Shabbos, your husbands or the hosts, they'll wash mayim achronim before they bench. So the question is, what about women? Should women do mayim achronim? So you'll find most of the times that the men are the ones who do mayim achronim and the women do not do mayim achronim. So where does that come from? So the Paiskim say that since the Shulchan Aruch says that really nowadays it's really not so obligatory because that salt doesn't really apply, it's just that the men do it because there's other reasons, and the Mishnah Berurah says that, you know, maybe also we have similar types of salt, maybe if we don't have salt from Sodom, but maybe we have similar. So really the main reason doesn't apply. So the women didn't accept it upon themselves to continue this mitzvah. The men, they are more strict, and they have accepted upon themselves to continue this mitzvah because we have these other reasons, and we do, and there's other also Kabbalah reasons included. So the men do it. But the women, since according to the letter of the law, really, they don't have to do it. So the women didn't accept it upon themselves, and therefore the women do not have to do it. Therefore, if you would ask me, should you do it? You do not have to do it. The custom is that women do not do mayim achronim. If you do find some women, some girls doing mayim achronim, that is the reason. Because nowhere in the old Paiskim is there a difference between men and women. There's no difference. Men and women are the same. The only reason where it comes from is, Rav Vosner explains, because since the real reason doesn't apply nowadays, so the men are more strict and they accept it upon themselves, and the women did not accept it upon themselves. Nowhere in Halacha does it say there's a difference between Shabbos and the weekday in regards to Mayim Achronim. You'll find many men, even if women don't do it, but you'll find many men that they do it on Shabbos, but not during the week. Where does that come from? Nowhere does it say that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif in regards to Mayim Achronim. So I think we discussed this, we mentioned this at one point, that you do find that there's such a thing as we discussed that as far as dipping the bread in the salt. Mm-hmm. That you do find that there's such a thing as being more makbid about halacha on Shabbos than during the week. So the men, that's where I think that's where it comes from, where the men, you'll find that some men do it only on Shabbos and not during the week, is because, again, since the real reason doesn't really apply nowadays, if the real reason applied nowadays, you have to do it during the week as well. But since the real reason doesn't apply nowadays, similar to what we mentioned last week about dipping the bread in the salt, so the real reason doesn't apply, so we'll say, okay, at least on Shabbos, I'll be makbet to do it during the week. People are not as makbet to do it. I try to do it during the week as well. There are times where, you know, I'm lax about it during the week, but on Shabbos we're all more strict, and we try to be makbet on Mayim Rechonim. If the women want to do it, there's definitely reasons for them to do it, the same as the men. But like we said, some women do not have the custom to do it because the real reason doesn't apply, and they do not accept it upon themselves. Okay, next we come to Zimun, to the Mezumin. So, of course, we bench, and after this we're going to discuss some halachos of benching, but a lot of times on Shabbos, Zimun, you have a Mezumin. If you have three men together, they make a Mezumin, right? And I'm sure some of you know, you say Rabbi Sayin Avarech, and everybody answers. There's many, many, many halachos of Mezumin and Zimun, most of which we're not going to discuss, because halacha is that women who are by themselves, if you have three women benching by themselves, the custom is that the women do not make a mezumin. Really, the Shulchan Aruch says that they can make a mezumin, they can make their own mezumin, but the custom is that usually they do not. So we're not going to get into all the halachos about what is necessary to be eaten and things like that. The custom is that they do not make their own mezumin. However, one halacha which is very important, and I am willing to bet that most of you do not know this halacha, and you have nothing to feel bad about, because I would be willing to bet that more than 95% of women do not know this halacha, except for my students, because I made sure to tell them. The halacha is the following, that if women, again, like we said, women, when they are eating three women together, they do not make their own mezumin, and they do not count together with other men. I mean, if you have two men and one woman, that's not counted as a mezumin. But if they are eating together with three men, and the three men make a mezumin, they are obligated to answer the mezumin. Okay? They're obligated to answer along. Even if they don't understand what the words mean, they're obligated to come back. Or the Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you have to tell the woman to come in from the kitchen, to come off of the couch, they're eating something on the couch, and it's time to bench. Okay, I'll bench in a few minutes. The men, they make the mezumin. The women, you ate along with the meal. You are obligated to answer the mezumin. The minig is that they do not lead the mezumin. Only the man does that. Even though, according to technically halacha, perhaps they'd be allowed to, but that is the spread custom that they do not lead the mezumin. And again, they do not count as one of the three people. You need three men over bar mitzvah to have the obligation for mezumin.
You say it's a halacha?
That is a halacha.
That's great.
Why?
I just think it's
good. Yeah, okay, it's very good. They need to answer along. Again, they can't leave, but they need to answer. That's if they were part of the meal, right? If they're not part of the meal, they're not. And that's the same as a man. If they're not part of the meal, they're not obligated to answer.
Is it proper if a woman benches early and leaves the table?
So, that's a very good point. If a woman wants to bench and leave early from the table, it's the same as a man. She has to ask them, please do me a favor. They're not obligated if they're stubborn for whatever reason. No, we don't want to bench now. But if they, what she would ask them as a favor, if it's one of them to say the mezumin, the other two, one of them would have to actually bench now. They don't need all three to bench now. One of them would need to bench, the other two would need to answer, and she would answer as well. She has an obligation to ask them to please stop. But the halacha is, even by three men, if one of the three men want to leave early, they ask as a favor, the other two men, can you do me a favor and stop eating for a moment? I'll answer, I'll say the benching, I'll lead the mezumin, and you just answer. So there, they have no reason not to. They'll just stop for a few minutes, for a minute, and answer. Here, she needs one of the men to actually go bench, to say the mezumin, because she can't leave. But she has that obligation. That's what the place can say. It's something that a lot of people do not realize. And, you know, I try and tell my wife, so come back. We don't have a mezumin that often because, you know, unless we have guests or we're by somebody else's house. But if the woman is there, she ate part of the meal. They try to find reasons why the women do not answer, because really they're not part of the meal. They're not really part of the meal. They're in the kitchen serving the whole time. There's not really such basis for that, because they're not, even if they're in the kitchen. But they're part of the meal. They sat down by the kiddush. They sat down by the hamaitzi. They were part of the meal. They have the obligation to be part of the mezumin. The Shulchan Aruch says it. It's a clear halacha.
Sorry.
Okay, so now let's discuss some halachos of Birchas HaMazon, of benching. We discussed, we're moving on through Friday night, we've discussed now the halachos of the Suda, the Kiddush, the Lachamishna, and the Suda, which is Mayim Achroinim, and Zimun. So let's discuss a few halachos of Birchas HaMazon, of benching, which of course applies during the week as well. And then we'll get to some halachos of Ritzei and Yal V'Yavam. So benching, Birchas HaMazon, is a bracha that is obligated according to the Torah. It's written in the Torah that we need to bench after we eat bread. Pasuk says, we say it in Krishma, Es Hashem alkach al aratz atoy v'ashonot anoch, v'chalto v'savoto uveirachta. Right? It's Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, v'chalto v'savoto uveirachta. So when you eat and v'savoto and you are satiated, so then uveirachta, you have an obligation to bench and say the full benching. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they decide what those blessings are, but it's an obligation in the Torah to bench. There is a doubt in the Gemara whether this applies to women as well, meaning it's explicit pasuk in the Torah. But the question is, does that apply only to men, or is that obligation midaraisa applied to women as well? Now we discussed that a mitzvah that comes at a set time, women are exempt from, their putter. So over here, by benching, this doesn't come at a set time. We could wash whenever we want, we could bench whenever we want, anytime that we wash. So there's two reasons given why perhaps women are not obligated on a da'iraisa level. We're going to see there's a very big difference if somebody is obligated on a da'iraisa level or if they're just obligated on a da'rabana level. Meaning, even if women are not obligated to bench on a da'iraisa level, but they for sure are obligated midrabanan to bench. We're going to see there's a tremendous difference. But the reason why perhaps they would not be obligated on a deiraisa level is there's two reasons given. Because since we say in benching, al ha'aretz ha'toiva asher nasan lach, on the land, the good land that Hashem gave us, which of course is referring to Eretz Yisrael, women did not get a portion in the land. Meaning they did not get a portion by themselves in the land. If they were married, so then they got the portion together with their husbands. But they do not have their own portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It was given out to the Shvatim, to Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Levi didn't get their own portion, but to all the different Shvatim, women did not get their own portion. So perhaps for that reason, they are not obligated on a deraisa level. The second reason given is because we say in the second bracha, we say, al brischa shechasamta v'sireinu, v'al terascha shlimat, al terascha shlimatonu, v'al brischa shechasamta v'sireinu. So there's bris and Torah. Women are not obligated in learning Torah, as far as meaning they're obligated to learn the halachos that they need to know, but they're not obligated to learn once they know everything, and they don't have the mitzvah of bris milah. So for one of those two reasons, perhaps they are not obligated. But they are obligated on a derabbanan level. So we need to discuss what's the difference and when exactly this obligation midairaisa applies. And to women, till when maybe it applies, if they have a deraisa. And that is the following. The pasuk says, "V'chalta v'savata." They have to be satiated. Savata means satiated. So we discussed already a couple times that to be obligated to bench, you need to generally have the size of a kezias. But to be obligated in benching, the full benching, mid-iraisa, it has to be not just that you ate a kezias, it has to be that you ate the amount that you are satiated. The amount of bread that you are satiated. Now that depends on each and every person. If somebody is used to eating very small meals, so then they will be satiated by eating just maybe a couple slices of bread. If somebody is used to eating a tremendous meal, then they need to eat more bread to be obligated on a deraisa level. They're only obligated on a deraisa level if you ate the amount that makes you satiated. If you ate the size of a kezias, less than that, then you are obligated on a derabanan level. We said the size of a kezias is approximately, if you take a regular loaf of bread, which is those 2 pounds loaf of bread that they sell in Kosher Connection, take the middle slice of the rye bread, and it's 1/4 of that slice, okay, is one kezias. Now that's not a lot. We said that's not a lot. But if you eat that amount, then you're obligated to bench on a derabanan level. And if you eat an amount that you are satiated, then men are obligated on a deraisa level, and women, we said, are perhaps they are obligated on a deraisa level. So now, what is the difference between obligated midaraisa or obligated midrabanan? We have to bench either way. We're going to listen to all the derabanans. So the answer is, if let's say somebody is not sure if they benched. Has that ever happened to anybody? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it happens to people. It happens to me also once in a while that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say, like, he doesn't understand how could someone not be sure if they benched or not. I mean, if someone is not sure if they benched, that means that if they did bench, It must not have had too much kavana. It must not have been such a great benching. If a person could be not sure if they benched, then not sure if I made a bracha. I'm not, you know. So obviously it wasn't. It's considered unfortunate if a person is not sure. But it does happen to the best of us, and sometimes we are not sure if we benched or not. So now let's say I'm not sure if I benched. Do I have to bench again, or again in quotes? Meaning we're not sure if it's again or not. But do I have to go bench? I'm not sure if I benched. I know I ate. I'm not sure if I benched. So the halacha is the following. This is a general rule in throughout mitzvos, that if you have a doubt in regards to a obligation that's a raisa, that's a Torah law, so then you have to be stringent and you have to do it. You have to do it what we call again, right? But if it's something that's only obligated on a derabbanan level, only on a rabbinic level, then we say you are lenient and you do not need to do it again. So that makes the big difference. You are obligated on a deraisa level or on a derabbanan level. So if you ate only the size of a kezayis, you only had, let's say, a quarter of a slice of bread, or only one slice of bread, but you're not fully satiated, but you had enough to bench, and then you're not sure if you benched, you would not repeat the benching, because you were only obligated midrabbanan to bench, and you're not sure if you benched. That's a suffix, that's a doubt. You have a doubt on a derabbanan. If you, hold on one second, if you ate the size of that you are satiated, so here's where it gets complicated for women. Men that ate the amount that they're satiated, and now they're not sure if they benched, so they have to bench because they're obligated on a deraisa level. But women, we're not sure if they're obligated mid deraisa or not. It's a very interesting halacha that you'll never find anywhere else. That the Mishnah Berurah says, for a woman who ate the amount that she satiated, if she wants, she could bench. Meaning you'll never find that anywhere else by brachos. That we always find that if you're not sure if you're allowed to make a bracha or not, then you don't. You're not allowed to, because it's a suffix and it's a doubt. It's a doubt that you don't make a bracha because you don't want to make a bracha levatala. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting, that since it is a doubt if you're obligated mid-dairaisa or mid-dirabanan, and you ate kadei sviya, you ate the amount that you satiated, so if you want, you could bench. Okay? Comes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who lived recently, he lived way after the Mishnah Berurah. He says, since the Mishnah Berurah says if you want, you could bench, therefore you should bench. Okay, so that's practically, basically, at the end of the day, that's what comes out. If you ate the size of that you are the amount of bread that you are satiated, then we say you should, even a woman should bench. If you ate less than that, you just had one slice of bread, then we say, if you, and you're not sure if you bench, then you should not bench. You had a question before? Yeah. A second, sorry.
Satiated. We're excluding all the other food you
might have eaten. Excellent question. I wanted to save that till afterwards, just to get down the basic. Very good question. What she wants to know is that I didn't only eat bread. I had plenty of other food besides bread in my meal. So let's say I'm satiated from that other food. So the answer to that is the following. If you ate food with the bread, meaning the tuna fish inside the sandwich, inside the bagel, or the salami inside, or the hot dog with the bun, or the hamburger with the bun, meaning any food that was eaten together with the bread, that is included, and if you have to decide if you're satiated or not, is included in all the food that you ate with the bread itself, with the hamotzi itself. Any other foods that you ate separately, meaning let's say on Shabbos, I ate challah and I had gefilte fish, I had chicken, I had chowd, I had chicken, I had plenty of other foods. So yes, now I'm totally satiated. Doesn't have to be I'm stuffed, but I'm at ease, I'm satiated. There is a big machlokas. Does that include it in making you satiated or not? The Bir Halacha, who is the Chafetz Chaim, says that does not count to make it mid-ayraisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it does count. Obviously, the best is to remember if you benched or not. It makes it confusing, and like this situation where you have a doubt if women are obligated mid-deraisa, and now you have a doubt if the other foods that I ate go into it or not. It's doubts upon doubts. The best is to sit down, and we're going to discuss a few other halachas as far as sitting and benching out loud and things like that, but the best is to be cognizant of where you're holding, of benching, and something like that. In such a situation, I would say probably you should not bench. I mean, because since it's a machlokes, the Bir Halacha says no, you know, it's doubt upon doubt, and the best will probably be not to bench. You have a question before?
Yes. If you're really not sure that somebody benched, or you
If I wouldn't not, if I wasn't sure that I bench, should I wash again in heaven at the Sukkot?
That's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. What the Bir Halacha, when the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chafetz Chaim and others say that a great idea would be the following. Exactly what she just said would be a fantastic idea. I'm standing right now. I for sure ate. And I'm not sure if I benched or not. So we're discussing what should you do. Should I bench? Should I not bench? A great idea to do is what you just said. Wash again. Make hamotzi. Eat, and you all you have to eat is a kezayis, because then you'll be obligated on a derabbanan level. At least you'll be obligated to bench again. And then you bench again. So if I benched the first time, so fine, no big deal. I'm benching on what I just ate. And if I didn't bench the first time, so then this benching will cover all of that together. And you can make a new hamotzi, and you can make a new washing, because from the fact that you're not sure if you benched or not, obviously that meant that your meal was over. You've decided, you finished eating.
Because if you did bench the first time and you're benching again,
it's not a problem. Because now I'm washing again, right, and I'm benching on my second food. Right, you wash in between, and you can't just take a tiny bite. You have to eat the amount of bread that will make you obligated to bench again on the chance that you really did bench the first time. All you need is a kezayis, right? All you need is a kezayis, a quarter of a slice. Because even if you're obligated only to bench on a derabanan level, if you bench the first time, so then that's not a problem. If you didn't bench the first time, then it all grouped together, and then the benching could all go on all of that food. Again, a very good idea. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says would be a good idea to do. Not always are you able to do that. If you're traveling on the road, and that's why you're not yourself, you're traveling in the car and you're not sure if you benched, and you stopped at a service area, you stopped at the picnic tables, and you're not sure, you're running back, you're trying to get your kids, get back into the car, right, and there's no bread left, and now what do you do? So a lot of times you don't have such an idea. Most of the times that we forget if we benched is not when we're sitting at home at ease. You know, you're on the run, things like that, so something in that situation, it's not always a viable option. But definitely, if it is such a possibility, that would be a good idea.
We're shifting here because you need the table.
Please,
for taking notes.
Can move closer.
Yes.
Sometimes this can happen. Just one last halacha as far as if you're not sure if you benched. I know this happened to me once or twice. This can happen that you're not sure if you benched. So we have this situation. So let's say you bench again. And then in the middle of benching again, you realize, oh yeah, I did bench. I mean, these words look too familiar, and I remember the stain on the bencher that I just happened to notice before, and then I forget I bench. But now, I mean, it has happened that, you know, when you're benching the second time, you realize, oh no, I definitely benched already, you know, 10 minutes ago. And I remember I was like trying to motion to my kids while I was benching, that's why I forgot if I benched. If you realize in the middle, so then you just stop. You stop exactly where you are. You can't bench again because you realize that you did bench the first time. So you just stop where you are. You say Baruch Shem Kvam Achusel Olam Vod. That's what we do. If you say a bracha by mistake when you really weren't supposed to, you say Baruch Shem Kavod Machus Adon Levad, because then this way it's not so much of a disgrace to Hashem's name. But it's not like, okay, once I started, I just continue. You stop exactly where you are.
You might have a child in your lap when you bench, because I think I once learned that benching has the same, I don't know if it's on par or
as Shmona Esrei?
As
Shmona Esrei. Right, so Shmona Esrei, the Gemara says, so by Shmona Esrei, the Gemara in Sukkah says that you shouldn't be holding anything during Shmona Esrei, except the sitter you're allowed to, but you shouldn't be holding anything during Shmona Esrei like a child. Benching, I was not aware of such a halacha. Maybe there are those that do say it. I could understand definitely that somebody would say it's not preferable to, because it takes away from a person's kavana, concentration, but as strict as Shmona Esrei, I don't recall seeing. I don't. Yeah, it's definitely important for chinuch to show your children that, and to show Hashem that you're having kavana during your benching, and you know, with a child on your lap and you kuchi koo and you're motioning to somebody and things like that, and you're dialing, you know, on your cell phone and you're putting on your coat while you're benching, all these things, for sure that's not very good for kavana and it's not good for chinuch, and for sure.
Another question: yeah. We try at home to, if we can, to say like the brachos out loud and to say amen.
Okay, fantastic.
Out loud, I think you're. Right.
About Amen?
Did she make that? One of the stories.
Oh, one of the stories, perhaps. Okay, fine. Okay. Could be. So, I'm not such a bucky. Yeah.
So, I often when I'm, it's like I'm on the phone, so either the person who I'm talking to says, okay, hold on, say Amen, I'm gonna say a bracha, or I vice versa say, you know, I'm going to say Al-Hamechia now, please listen and say Amen. And then
right.
A few people have told me you're not supposed to do that over the phone.
Right. So, We discussed this, right? I'm sorry to do this to you again. I did it to you last week also. But we discussed last week when we were discussing the halachos of a main, or perhaps it was 2 weeks ago, we were discussing the halachos of a main, that we paskin that you are allowed to say a main over a telephone, over a microphone. But the only thing that you're not, that we paskin practically, that you're not supposed to say a main, you're not supposed to do over the telephone, is to be yotze, to fulfill a mitzvah over the telephone, which the most common example is Havdalah. Kiddush Friday night, we're usually not doing over the telephone, but Havdalah, if somebody, let's say a person has, you know, their mother lives in Florida, and she lives alone, and she's not going to be making her own Havdalah, let's face it. So, can I make Havdalah for over the phone? So, okay, for a grandmother, an old lady living in Florida, something like that, perhaps there is what to rely on. Rav Moshe Feinstein says perhaps you could do it. But generally, in a regular situation, we do not fulfill somebody else's mitzvah over the telephone. But just a regular amen, say amen to my bracha, that we say you are allowed.
So what about a woman who's not supposed to make
Havdalah?
I don't really remember.
Okay, we're going to get to the halachas of Havdalah, Bez Hashem.
So what's adif? My adif?
The best is
Havdala,
definitely the woman could say her own Havdalah, 100%. The place can say that clear out, definitely, 100%.
Why is it different than
no, because Havdalah you need to fulfill your mitzvah from somebody else, that you can't do over the telephone. But just to say amen to your bracha, if you make a ha'etz, I say amen to your bracha, that I'm allowed to do. But if I want to be yotzei the ha'etz from you, let's say we're both eating an apple and you're saying the ha'etz and I'm saying the ha'etz, that we can't do over the telephone. Okay, that's the difference.
Thank you.
Okay, so now back to the halachas of Shabbos by benching on Shabbos. So we all know that the halacha is on Shabbos during benching we say the paragraph of Ritzeh for in the honor of Shabbos. On Yontif and on Rosh Chodesh we add the paragraph of Yalav Yavo in Shmona Esrei as well, but we're not discussing Shmona Esrei right now. But for benching on Shabbos we add Ritzeh, and on Yontif and Rosh Chodesh we add Yalav Yavo. When it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos and Yontif, of course, we say both Ritzeh and Yalav Yavo. So now, let's say a person forgets Ritzeh, or let's say a person forgets Yalav Yavo. What is the halacha? Do they need to repeat benching or not? So the answer is the following. The rule of thumb is the following, and it's just a matter of applying it to each and every case. And the rule is very clear, and that is the following. If it was a se'uda, if it was a washing that you were obligated to wash, then and you benched and forgot Ritzeh or Yalav Yavo, you must repeat the benching. Again, if it was a se'uda, a washing that you were obligated to wash, and then now you benched and you washed like you were supposed to, and you benched and you forgot Ritzeh or you forgot Yalav Yavo, if it was a suda that you were obligated to wash, then you need to repeat the benching. The whole benching. You got to go all the way back to the beginning.
You have to wash it.
Okay, so now we're going to have to discuss. Let's say you realize in the middle, we'll get to that at the end, hopefully tonight. But if you, which is very complicated halachas, at what point you remember, but let's just discuss for a moment that you finished benching. You know you benched and you know you forgot Ritzeh. So what's the halacha? So again, if it was a suda that you were obligated to wash, so then you need to bench again. So now let's plug it in, each and every case. Friday night and Shabbos day, the halacha is, we said already, that you are obligated to wash. Both men and women are obligated to wash Friday night and to wash by Shabbos day. We said women are obligated in all positive commandments of Shabbos, because we said Zohar and Shomer are said together. So just like the women are obligated in the negative commandments, they are also obligated in the positive commandments. So even if it's a Derabbanan, they are obligated. So men and women, very easy to remember, both men and women, Friday night, if you get Ritzeh, you have to repeat benching. Shabbos morning, Shabbos day, if you get Ritzeh, you need to repeat benching. Shalosh Shudas. So now, Shalosh Shudas, there's a discussion if somebody, men or women, there's no difference between men and women when it comes to Shalosh Shudas. The place can say that clearly. There's no difference to Aruch HaShulchan and others. There's no difference between men and women when it comes to Shalosh Shudas. What the third Suda, this Shalosh Shudas, is someone obligated to wash or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says that there's different opinions. Some say you need to wash. Some say it's enough to just have mizonos. Some say it's enough to just have fruit. Different opinions what you're obligated to do for Shalosh Shudas. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're obligated to wash. Okay, a lot of people don't realize that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're obligated to wash, men and women are obligated to wash for Shalosh Shudas. Now, as far as benching, here is a little bit of a twist, that since, after all, there are other opinions in regards to Shalosh Shuddos, that a person perhaps does not need to wash, both men and women, but that they do not need to wash, so therefore in deference to those opinions, it makes it somewhat of a doubt if they're really obligated, even though really we paskin they are obligated to wash, but since there are opinions that they are not, so therefore if a person forgets Ritzei by benching, a Shalosh Shuddos, they do not repeat the benching. Okay, so that's, so far we haven't said any differences between men and women. We said both Friday night and Shabbos day, you're obligated to repeat the benching. By Shalosh Shuddos, if a person forgets Ritzei, then they do not need to repeat the benching. A lot of people get confused with this and they think, oh, so that means you don't have to wash. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is, we paskin, you should wash. In a short Shabbos, and a person is very full, and it hurts their stomach to wash and eat a kazayis of bread, which I can't fathom. But then, you know, perhaps is what to talk about. You're not supposed to pain yourself on Shabbos, so then you're not forced to wash. But generally speaking, a person should wash. Even if your husband is in shul, staying in shul for Shalosh Shuddos, a woman should wash with Lecha Mishnah, with the two breads by Shalosh Shuddos. However, if a person forgets Ritzei by benching, Shalosh Shuddos, they do not repeat the benching.
You have to have like two rolls, is that like...
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should. If you don't have, you should preferably borrow from a neighbor. If none of your neighbors have, so then at least you use two slices of bread or at least two of something. It should be double. Preferably, it should be two holes. And that's just as much for women as for men.
I thought Shalosh Shuddos
was good. No, Shalosh Shuddos is the same. We paskin, Shalosh Shuddos is exactly the same. Shalosh Shuddos has this idea that it's more lax, and it comes from this, that the Shulchan Aruch does quote opinions that say you do not need to wash. But the Shulchan Aruch says we don't paskin like that, just for benching, since after all it is a doubt, so you did bench, just you forgot Ritzei, so you do not need to repeat. But our minig is, are we paskin that it should have Lecha Mishnah as well?
But if
If the Suda goes till after Shabbos, we have to get to that separately. If the Suda goes after Shabbos, let's say you already made Havdalah, and then you realize you never benched from Shalosh Shuddos, do you say Ritzei? Let's say you said Baruch Hamad Mekodesh Echol, but you didn't say Havdalah, we're going to get to that. That's also the Mishnah Berurah discusses that. Okay, when we get to Shalosh Shuddos, we're going to have to discuss that. Yeah. Right. So some say you say both. So after all, I ate part of my Suda on Shabbos, I ate part on Rosh Chodesh.
If you've said Baruch Hamadil, right. Not if you're still carrying on a Shabbos.
Okay, so these are all going to make differences as far as Shalosh Shuddos and going into when you say Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. Right. Yalav Yavo. So what's the halacha for Yalav Yavo? So before we get to Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, let's discuss Yantif for a second. Yantif. We are obligated to wash on Yantif. Are women obligated to wash on Yantif? Or not? What would you think?
Yes.
Yes, most people would say yes. However, why are women obligated to wash on Shabbos? If it's a mitzvah, saseh shazman grama, it's a mitzvah that comes at a set time. And we know women are not obligated in mitzvahs that come at a set time. So why did we say a few weeks ago, why are women obligated to wash on Shabbos? Because we have Zohar and Shamar, that just like were said together by the Seres HaDibro, so just like the women are obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbos, so too they're obligated in the positive commandments. But by Yontif, does that apply? That's something by Shabbos. Perhaps that doesn't apply to Yontif. Rabbi Kiva Eger holds that doesn't apply to Yontif. There are those that say it does. So it's a doubt if women are obligated to wash on Yantif. So you should wash on Yantif, because since there's a doubt, you should wash on Yantif. But since there's a doubt, women who forget Yalav Yavo on Yantif do not need to repeat benching. They're positive that they forgot Yalav Yavo. They're positive that they benched, and they're positive they forgot Yalav Yavo. Women do not repeat benching on Yantif if they forget Yalav Yavo, whereas men, they do have to, because they are obligated. There's one exception to that. Tell me one Yantif that women are obligated to wash, according to everybody. Pesach, the night of the Seder. By the night of the Seder, and in America, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the night of the second Seder as well, there you are obligated to wash, because you're obligated to matzah. Since you're obligated to chametz, you're also obligated to matzah. Women are obligated to wash on matzah and to have the amount of matzah. So since they are obligated to wash for the matzah, so the night of the Seder, both Sedarim, that is the exception, that even women need to repeat benching if they forget Yalav Yavo.
You don't see the Shomer Bezachar also by Yantif?
No, Shama v'Zachar is Zachar's Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha. Shama's Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha. That's something specifically to Shabbos. So there are those that say that no, really it does apply to Yontif also. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger says no. So it's a doubt. So since it's a doubt, you should make sure to wash. On the other hand, if you forget Yalav Yavo, you do not repeat.
Can you just explain the doubt again? I'm just so confused because we know when Yantip is coming out, there is a set time for Yantip.
Right, there is a set time.
So
but
I'm totally lost. Like,
no, so there is a set time. So as far as that's concerned, they should not be obligated. But on the other hand...
Yeah, they should be obligated, right? Oh, no, right.
No, because they should not. Right. But on the other hand, Shabbos also comes at a set time. So why are they obligated on Shabbos? Because of that rule that Zohar and Shomer, that since Zohar and Shomer, Hashem... The first Aseret HaDibro says Zohar is Yom HaShabbos HaKasher. The second Aseret HaDibro says Shomer is Yom HaShabbos HaKasher. So which one did Hashem say when he called out Aseret HaDibro? Which one did Hashem say? So the Gemara says that Hashem said both at the same time, which of course a human being can't do. But Hashem said both at the same time. So since they were said together, the Zohar and the Shomer, Chazal tell us that Zohar means the positive commandments of Shabbos, and Shomer means to guard, which means the negative commandments of Shabbos. So now, the women are obviously obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbos, because that has nothing to do with the set time. It's only mitzvos asei, shazman grama. So we make a comparison. Just like women are obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbos, so too they are obligated in the positive commandments of Shabbos, even though it comes at a set time. So women are obligated in all the halachos of Shabbos, the same as men. Anything that's to do with Shabbos, they're obligated just as much as men. Havdalah we'll have to see separately, because Havdalah sort of is after Shabbos. We'll have to get to that separately. But any mitzvah of Shabbos. So the question is, does that carry over to Yom Tov or not? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says no. And others say yes. So that's why we have this doubt in regards to Yom Tov. Shabbos, we are positive. Women are obligated to wash Friday night. They're obligated in Kiddush Friday night. And they're obligated in Lechem Mishnah, just like men. Because women are obligated in all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, Shalosh Shudos, just as much as men. But Yom Tov, that's where the question comes in. If you forget, let's just finish the halachas of Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. If you forget Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, let's say you wash on Rosh Chodesh. If you forget Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh or on Chol HaMoed, so the halacha is both men and women, you do not repeat benching. Why? Because there was not required to wash on Chol HaMoed or Rosh Chodesh. Keep in mind that it is a nice thing to wash. The Mishnah Berurah says it is nice to wash on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, in honor of Chol HaMoed, in honor of Rosh Chodesh. You'll see plenty of people on Sukkot, they'll go into the Sukkah and they'll wash. Or, I mean, on Pesach it's not a big deal because there's nothing to eat besides matzah anyway, so it's not a big deal to wash for breakfast. It is a nice thing to wash in honor of Chol HaMoed, in honor of Rosh Chodesh, but it's not a requirement, it's not an obligation as much as Yom Tov itself, and for sure not an obligation as much as Shabbos. So therefore, if you wash, you need to bench, but if a person forgets Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, you do not repeat the benching. If, just two more halachos, let's say it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos and Chol HaMoed, so we said you have to say both, Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. So now, let's say, getting thinking caps on, let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so, and I forgot Yalav Yavo. Okay? So what should you do? Meaning it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So if I forget Ritzei, of course, we said already, I have to repeat benching. Maybe not by Shalosh Shudos, but I have to repeat benching. But let's say you forgot Yalav Yavo. So the halacha is exactly, you do not. Because even though I was obligated to wash, because it's Shabbos, I was obligated to wash, but the reason why I was obligated to wash was not because of the Yalav Yavo, not because of the Rosh Chodesh, it was because of the Shabbos. So therefore the halacha is, if it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and I forget the Yalav Yavo, so there we keep it the same as the regular Chol HaMoed and the regular Rosh Chodesh, and you do not repeat the benching. If you forget Ritzei, so of course you need to repeat the benching. When you repeat the benching, if you forgot Ritzei, you say Yalav Yavo again, even though you said Yalav Yavo the first time already. But once you're repeating the benching because you forgot Ritzei, so then you say it the correct way. You say both Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. One last halacha. Let's say you're not sure. I mean, we discussed before, you're not sure if you benched. So let's say you're positive you benched, but you're not sure if I said, I don't know, I don't remember if I said Ritzei. I don't remember if I said Yalav Yavo or not. So what's the halach over there? So if it's, let's say by Ritzei, and obviously this is only applicable by something that if I did forget, I need to repeat. If it's something that even if I did forget, I don't need to repeat, so we don't need to discuss it. But let's say by Ritzei. So I'm not sure if I said Ritzei, or Yalav Yavo for women, by the Seder, or for men. So the halach is that if you're not sure if you said it, we have to assume that you did not say it. Because you're not used to saying it. Even though we don't necessarily wash every day during the week, but we definitely bench more often without Ritzei than we bench with Ritzei. I think that's safe to assume. Even though we bench three times every Shabbos, but the standard benching is we wash plenty of times during the week as well. The standard benching, the standard flow that I would do subconsciously, as we said before, that if a person is not sure if they said it or not, then unfortunately that means they were doing some of it subconsciously. The subconscious way, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that that we assume you did not say it. We have to assume for sure that you did not say it. It's vadai. It's considered definite that you did not say it. So if you're not sure if you said Ritzei or Yalav Yavoi, then the halacha is that we assume you missed it and you need to repeat it if the Ritzei or Yalav Yavoi is at that time something that you need to repeat. Okay, Joe, just one last halacha. I just want to say, we even said already, basically it's something that you pointed out. It's important to have kavana during benching. You shouldn't be doing other things. Preferably you should not have kids on your lap, you know, that are bothering you. If it's just a kid who's, you know, your baby's just sitting there, you know, so that's not a problem if it doesn't really bother you. You shouldn't be motioning to other people during benching or any bracha. You shouldn't be dialing a cell phone. You shouldn't be, if it's during the week, you know, you shouldn't be putting on your coat. You shouldn't be rushing out. And you know, my brother one time was benching with his coat on because he was running out. He had to run out somewhere. His Rosh Hashiva was speaking. So my sister, you know, sister and brother. So my sister said, "You shouldn't be benching with your coat on because it looks like you're in a rush to finish benching." So my brother said, "I am in a rush to finish benching." So, but well, you know, okay, that's just because he had to give her an answer. But you know, you should, you know, I don't know if it says that anyway. You shouldn't bench with your coat on, but it should be done. Benachas. The chinuch says, a very famous chinuch. All of us are looking for segulas. Everyone likes to have segulas. So a segula for panosa. This is from the chinuch. The chinuch was from the rishonim. You don't need to go, you know, it's the best school as possible. The chinuch says a school for parnasa is to bench inside with a sitter, saying every word, to be careful with the benching, slowly. If you know that you're going to be rushing out and you need to leave the house at 2 o'clock, so don't open up the bench at 1:59. You know, bench slowly, and the chinuch tells us already that that is a skula for parnasa. So that is, I think, if you needed an incentive, you know, to have kavana and benching and be makbet about all the halachas of benching, right there you have a little bit of a shalei lishma to be makbet on the halachas of benching.
I really actually see that.
Sorry?
I actually see
okay.
That.
Okay, sure. It's, yeah.
Like, amazing.
Yeah, it's if the chinuch says it, is you're allowed to bank on it. No pun intended. But yeah.
What does it mean by the grass?